Blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now, a logo of a thickly maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, a soldier's hand lifts a sheet of parchment pierced with a sword. A second piece lies beneath it. A title in red calligraphy reads, The Prisoner of Zenda. Copyright 1952 by Lowe's Incorporated. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Lisa Benjamin. Read by Rena Baskin. Funded by the United States Department of Education. More titles. Starring Stuart Granger, Deborah Carr, Louis Calhern, Jane Greer, Louis Stone, Robert Douglas, and James Mason as Rupert of Henshaw. Screenplay by John L. Balderston and Noel Langley. Adaptation by Wells Root. From the novel by Anthony Hope. And the dramatization by Edward Rose. Music by Alfred Newman. Adapted by Conrad Salinger. Color by Technicolor. Art directors Cedric Gibbons and Hans Peters. Film editor George Bemler, ACE. Produced by Pandro S. Berman. Directed by Richard Thorpe. Now, a yellowed scroll rolls up the screen. It reads, Toward the close of the last century, when history still wore a rose and politics had not yet outgrown the waltz, a great royal scandal was whispered in the anterooms of Europe. However true it was, any resemblance in The Prisoner of Zenda to heroes, villains, or heroines, living or dead, is a coincidence not intended. The scroll ends with a drawing of a crown and a scepter. Now we glide across a map of Europe to Austria. In a train station, a conductor steps across the platform to open a car door on the Orient Express.
Passengers will please to descend.
The passengers disembark, step past a newsboy, and enter the station house.
This way for passport examination, please. This way for passport
Special rates for the coronation.
Special high rates.
A customs agent studies a certificate.
Rudolf Rasendahl, British subject. Purpose of visit, pleasure. What hotel in Stralsa, Mr. Rasendahl?
I hadn't thought about it.
You better think about it. If you don't want to sleep in the park.
Well, in that case, I won't go to Stralsa until after the coronation. I've come to your country for a well-earned rest with the intention of going fishing for trout.
Glancing up at him, the custom agent's eyes widen in shock.
I beg your pardon. Have I said anything I shouldn't?
A second agent faces him, mouth open. Other passengers stare in disbelief, their eyes roaming over his handsome features. The lean, mustached Rudolf flashes a confused smile.
I know my clothes are a little conservative, but we English always dress as if we're going to a funeral when we're on a holiday.
Everything is quite not.
Thank you for making me feel so much at home.
He tips his hat, then turns away. A porter trails behind with his luggage.
All right, I'll take these, thanks.
But your train's going.
I'm going to Stralsau on foot in my own good time.
But you'll miss the coronation, sir.
I always make a point of missing coronation.
The porter gapes.
I hope your trout take as much interest in me as you do. I shan't be able to land them fast enough.
Clutching his bags, Rasendahl strides through the exit. Unaware, he passes a painting of Rudolf V, the king of Ruritania. The monarch looks exactly like the Brit, save the mustache. Now on the banks of a lake, a sign reads, Province of Zenda, trespassing forbidden. Two men saunter past with rifles. They amble up to Rasendahl, who snoozes at the foot of an oak.
It's a trick of the devil.
Rudolf awakens and glances up at them.
Shave him and he'd be the king. May I ask your name, sir?
Well, since you've taken the first step in the acquaintance, gentlemen, perhaps you'd be good enough to give me a lead in the matter of names.
Oh, certainly. This is Colonel Zapt, and I am called Fritz von Tarlenheim. We are both in the service of His Majesty the King.
Uh-huh. I'm Rudolf Rasendahl. I'm here on holiday from England, and I was recently in the service of Her Majesty the Queen.
Rasendahl.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Rasendahl?
How do you do?
Rasendahl. Of course, by heaven, your face betrays you, sir. You know his history, I believe.
Well, I had heard a rumor or two.
I was hoping that our skeleton was safe at home in our family cupboard.
Some skeletons are prodigious travelers, sir.
Prince, where are you?
Here, Your Majesty.
Confound it, I thought you'd lost yourselves again.
The king approaches.
Who is this gentleman? A distant relative of yours, Your Majesty.
Rudolf bows slightly.
Distant? He seems too close for comfort.
That is something for which you cannot entirely blame me, Your Majesty.
Oh, then who shall I blame?
Well, with Your Majesty's permission, I would suggest that the blame lies equally between your great-great-great-grandfather, Rudolf, and my great-great-great-grandmother, Amelia.
I beg your pardon?
He's right, Your Majesty. The man is a Rassendyll from England.
Rassendyll? England?
Yes, Your Majesty. Ever since Amelia's time, the Elfberg face has cropped out on one of us every now and then.
The king shakes Rudolf's hand.
Well met, cousin. You must forgive me if I seemed a little slow, but it's a bit early in the day to see double, even for me. Hey, Zapt? But what are you doing here, cousin?
I must admit to being guilty of the same offense as our mutual ancestor, Your Majesty.
And what was that?
Fishing in forbidden waters.
Oh. Ah! That's very funny. That's funny. The man has wit. You must come to my coronation tomorrow. I'd give 1,000 crowns for the sight of Brother Michael's face when he sees the pair of us side by side. You shall stay at my hunting lodge, and tonight we shall dine you right royally. Our ancestors laid down some good wine here in the lodge, cousin. Fritz, they little thought that a bottle or two was laid down for you. All in the family, all in the family.
Later, the men dine in a dimly lit room. As a servant removes the tray, the king pours a glass of wine.
Cousin Rudolf, I propose a toast.
Hear, hear.
Another toast.
A toast to... Have we anybody left? Your brother Michael, perhaps? We drink to Michael in vinegar, my friend, not in good wine. I'll tell you a secret about my brother Michael. My brother Michael does not love me.
No?
No. But he loves my shoes. He feels that he should be in my shoes and I should be in his. No toast for Michael. We'll drink instead to Cousin Flavia, soon to be my bride and queen. Hear, hear. Poor Flavia. She never had a chance to choose anybody else. Well, for that matter, neither did I. It's a pity you can't meet the princess. At least, I'm told it's a pity. I haven't seen her for years. She and I didn't get on very well then. Still, let's hope we shall now.
I sincerely hope so, Your Majesty. If you're going to marry her.
They tell me she's far too good for me. I can well believe it. You know what they say about me, don't you? I drink too much. I imagine that you're well able to take care of yourself on that score, Your Majesty.
Oh, I've done my fair share of drinking in my day. I'd be the last to deny it. But tomorrow, in the cathedral, when my people place the crown upon my head and proclaim me their king, I shall be their king for the rest of my life. But tonight I drink with my friends.
Colonel Zapt steps forward with a disapproving look. Fritz sleeps, slumped in a nearby chair.
With my friend.
The king plops into his chair.
You know, Rassendyll, I like you. You're a good fellow. Oh, you're English, but you're a good fellow. I want to drink a toast to you. Find out where's all the wine got to. Joseph! Bottle of the 68.
Zapt comes up behind him.
Your Majesty, it is my duty to remind you once more of tomorrow.
What, again?
Yes, again.
Well, then, you've reminded me. Now go on. Sit down. Have a drink.
You have a duty, Your Majesty.
Duty on my last night of freedom?
I question your freedom to drink yourself into a condition in which you will not be fit to be crowned tomorrow.
I question your right to address me in that manner.
I served your father in his
life. And I question your right to bring my father into this.
Your father honored his obligations to the crown.
The king staggers to his feet.
Are you suggesting that I do not?
Your father never thought of himself or of his own pleasure. Your father never forgot he was a king.
He smacks Zapt across the face.
By your leave, Your Majesty.
The gray-bearded Zapt turns away and marches out.
Zapt! Zapt!
Joseph, the balding servant, returns with a bottle of wine. He comes up beside the king, who grinds his cigarette into an ashtray.
What are you doing here?
The 1868, Your Majesty. You sent for it.
Oh, did I? Joseph.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I've had too much to drink. Better take it back.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Oh, no, wait.
We have a guest. Excellent fellow, Joseph. English.
Rudolph sleeps soundly in his chair.
Excellent fellow, Joseph, but he can't drink. I can drink. I'm the king.
He downs another glass as Joseph looks on, gripping a silver bottle holder.
You better go to bed, Joseph.
Good night, Your Majesty.
Good night. Sleep well.
Joseph starts out.
Everybody sleep well. Everybody sleeps but the king.
He brings another glass to his lips. The king wears a monocle and has dark hair. Rassendyll is graying at the temples. Shutting his eyes, the king swallows deeply. As he raises the glass for another gulp, he pitches forward.
Zap.
He takes a step.
Zap!
With a slow, drunken spin, he collapses against his chair. His monocle drops out. He tumbles to the floor and lies unconscious. Daytime. Joseph brings a pitcher to Zapt. As Rudolph sleeps nearby, the colonel flings water in his face. Rudolph shakes his head and rises.
I don't think much of your joke, sir.
You think it's a joke, do you? This is no joke, Englishman.
The king lies nearby, still unconscious. Rudolph staggers forward.
Quite an evening, wasn't it? What happened?
Joseph found him lying here this morning.
You didn't drink any of this last bottle?
Not that I know of, no.
I think you'd know if you had.
Why? Was it drugs?
It was.
Rudolph kneels over the king.
He sent for a doctor.
There's none within 10 miles. 1,000 doctors wouldn't take him to Strelsau today. I know the look of it. He'll not stir for 6 or 7 hours.
But how? Why? Who?
Who else but Michael?
Michael? His own brother?
His half-brother. Michael's mother wasn't exactly acceptable in court circles. He wants the crown to be offered to him by the people. He wants to pose as their savior from the excesses of an incompetent king.
If he is not crowned today, he'll never be crowned.
As Rudolph sits in a chair, Zapt stands over him, arms stiffly crossed.
Englishman, I am much older than you. As a man grows old, he comes to believe in fate. Fate sent you here. Fate sends you now to Strelsau.
What?
I'd wager without your mustache you could deceive your own brother.
Rudolph warily looks over at the king.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
It's a risk, yes. Against a certainty.
My dear Colonel, I came here on a fishing trip. I like to fish. I'm an ordinary Englishman. I couldn't begin to act like a king even if I tried. I wouldn't deceive anybody.
Bowing his head, he shakes it with a grin. His brown eyes twinkle.
What are you smiling at?
Conjures up quite a picture, doesn't it? The cathedral crowded to the doors. The organ booming. I kneel to be crowned. Yeah. And then your friend Michael steps forward and shouts, "That isn't the king. That's an Englishman named Rudolph Rassendyll." Oh, no, I'm sorry, gentlemen.
Then Michael sits on the throne tonight and the king lies in prison or his grave.
Rudolph's eyes cloud as he glances over at the unconscious king. His wet hair hangs in straggles over his knotted brow.
After all, it would only be for today, wouldn't it?
By tonight, you'll be safely across the border.
If I fail, what then?
Your life. And mine and Fritz's here.
Rudolph breaks into a wry smile, then pounds his fist on the arm of his chair.
Confounded. I'd become awfully fond of this mustache.
With a bright grin, Zapt steps over to shake his hand. The colonel then turns to Fritz, who stoops beside the unconscious king. Fritz von Tarlenheim, slender with a thin mustache, removes a royal ring from the king's hand, then gives it to Zapt. The colonel, in turn, hands it to Rudolph, who struggles to slip it onto his right ring finger.
Hope the crown's a better fit.
He turns away.
Well, what are we going to do?
We've got to hide him. We can't chance Michael's men finding him here. The cellar would be best to pick him up.
But if they search...
Joseph will put them off.
But...
We're not playing. I know the risk. If they do find him, he'll be no worse off than if he's not crowned in Strelsar today. Pick him up.
He opens the door and finds a housekeeper.
I beg your pardon, sir.
One moment. How long have you been caretaker here?
10 years.
Have you the key to the wine cellar?
Yes, sir.
Open it.
She goes down a stone staircase. Fritz carries the king out on his shoulders, while Zapt reaches for the bottle of drugged wine. Steely-eyed, he has a Roman nose, curled gray mustache, and a square beard. He stares at the bottle for a moment, then turns toward the door. Downstairs, Fritz lugs the king into the open wine cellar as the housekeeper pockets the key. When Zapt comes down the stairs, she anxiously starts to leave. He steps into her path. She shifts to the right. He blocks her passage. Zapt reaches for a pewter stein and pours some wine. He holds it out to her.
No. No, no.
Drink it. Drink it!
She reluctantly takes the stein in both hands and gulps down the wine. As she wipes her mouth with the back of one trembling hand, the stein slips and falls to the floor. She fiddles with her lower lip, then drops into a high-backed wooden chair, stroking her throat. As Fritz rushes over, Zapt points to the housekeeper.
Tie her up. Got a gag or two.
Fritz reaches for a length of rope hanging on a nearby hook. Zapt enters the wine cellar, where the king sleeps peacefully under a blanket. The colonel removes his own military jacket.
On the night before your coronation, you had to have wine. Wine. More wine.
He folds it into a pillow, places it under the king's head, then gently pats his cheek. Marching back into the hallway, he finds the housekeeper bound, gagged, and unconscious as Fritz ties the final knot.
Remarkable vintage, that 68. Lock the door.
Fritz reaches into the housekeeper's pocket and takes out the key, while Zapt goes back upstairs. Fritz shuts the wine cellar door, turns the lock, then gives an ardent salute.
Sleep well, Your Majesty. We go to see you crowned.
He steps away. Upstairs in the dining room, Fritz joins Zapt.
By heaven, we'll do it yet.
Rudolph stands, newly shaved.
It's not bad. Not bad at all.
His monocle slips out.
I'll never keep that in.
He compares his reflection to a picture of the king.
Look here, you've overlooked one thing. Yesterday's temples won't do for today's king.
You're right. What can we do?
Well, I suggest some boot blacking. Preferably the king's. I may as well be royal all over.
Now, a proclamation reads, in response to public demand occasioned by the unexplained non-appearance of His Majesty, King Rudolph V, I, Michael Duke of Strelsaw, do hereby assume the regency of this kingdom and ordain and proclaim a state of martial law. A man's hand signs the bottom of the proclamation, Michael, in a neat, careful script. He affixes a purple ribbon beside it, drips hot red wax on top, and seals it with a silver stamp. The Duke, thinly mustached with piercing dark eyes, wears gold epaulets on his military jacket. Rising, he hands the proclamation to an aide.
There. The last detail. Remember, this is to be released 20 minutes after Hensar brings you word that the coronation ceremonies have been cancelled. 20 minutes, not before.
Yes, Your Highness. And now may I offer you my congratulations?
Shave premature, but thank you, Detchard.
A beautiful brunette enters wearing a burgundy dress and hat. She nods to the Duke.
Well, gentlemen, it's time for you to proceed to your posts. The hour is almost upon us.
We go in the cause of our country and our future sovereign.
Michael eyes the woman.
Our future sovereign, Queen Flavia.
Gripping the proclamation, the aide steps out with two others. The woman comes over to Michael.
He looked at you when he said our future sovereign. Have you been lying to me, Michael? Is it more than the regency you want?
No, of course not. As regent, the sovereign power will be mine. That's all he meant, my dear Antoinette.
Was it? Is power all you want? I'm afraid, Michael.
For me or for yourself?
You promised to make me your wife.
She holds his arms.
I want to be your wife. I want to love you and make you happy. Once you were regent, they would never let you marry me. Michael, take the happiness we can have together. Leave the power to your brother.
No. I've played second fiddle to that drunken sot for the last time. Because his mother was a princess and mine was not. He lived in the royal palace. He dined with kings. Well, today the feast is set for Rudolph. But it's Michael who will sit in his place. Come in.
Entering, a man clicks his heels.
Count Rupert of Hentzau at your service, Your Majesty.
Antoinette turns away.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Your Majesty.
Hentzau.
Your Highness.
Your wit is as inopportune as your appearance. Why are you not at your post in the cathedral?
How can I witness the coronation of a king who will be conspicuous by his absence?
Do we want to make it obvious to the whole world that we knew he would not be there?
Hentzau throws a glance to Antoinette.
Incidentally, the Burgomaster of Zender is outside to pay you his respects, at the head of a delegation of loyal peasants. I told them you were probably too busy to see them, as of course you are.
The Duke steps out from behind his desk.
There may come a time, Hentzau, when your services will no longer excuse your impertinence.
The Count bows as Michael steps toward the door and walks out. Hentzau, tall and trim, approaches Antoinette.
I called at your hotel again this morning, and as usual, they said you were out. Curiously enough, you were out for once. I'm glad you stopped lying to me. I hate being lied to by women. They never did before. I always lied to them.
You and I will never have anything to lie to each other about, Count Rupert.
Never? Somebody once called fidelity the fading woman's greatest weapon, the charming woman's greatest hypocrisy. And you're very charming to anyone whose head is not bowed beneath a borrowed crown.
I thought I heard His Highness order you to your place at the cathedral.
So you're trying to put me in my place, too. I love arrogance in a woman. It's also amusing to discover that their arrogance is only a defense. But you need no defense against me. You and I are allies. Michael is plotting to betray us both.
She starts out.
Poor Michael, how he shortchanges himself, deserting a warm, exciting woman of the world for an insipid wax doll.
She pauses at the door and turns back.
That was hardly up to your usual standard, Count Rupert. I had heard you were much more subtle. What makes you think Michael has the slightest intention of marrying Princess Flavia?
How else can he get the crown?
He doesn't want the crown, as those in his confidence know. He wants only to be regent.
So he's made you think he only wants to be the man behind the throne. Oh, no, he wants to sit on it. And sit on it he never can unless he sits beside the rightful queen, and that queen is not you. Even though you'd make a perfect queen.
He lifts her chin.
I'm glad you believed me at last. I told you we were allies.
She turns to go. He stops her.
I can even help you to win him back, and I'm the only man in the country who can, because I'm the only man in the country who isn't afraid of him. All you have to do is to give him genuine cause to be jealous of me. Would that be hard?
She shifts her gaze, then looks back. The Count politely opens the door. Antoinette steps out. He turns to regard his reflection in a mirror. He has fine, suave features and closely cropped hair. He fits a helmet onto his head with a golden eagle perched on top. Now, a train speeds past rolling mountains. Inside, Rudolph sits on a throne of gold. Fritz and Zapp look on as he holds up his right hand.
I, Rudolph, with justice and mercy to deal sovereignty, to guard with vigilance and honor the welfare of my peoples from all enemies.
Fritz looks to Zapt, who raises his eyebrows encouragingly.
No, don't tell me. From all enemies to defend them, and from the throne of my ancestors to bear faithful rule, all this do I swear.
Zapt checks his pulse while Fritz sighs.
A little swift, but she'll do. It's
Stop shaking, lad. They'll mistake it for a royal hangover. And let me see. We're all right to the cathedral. Princess hasn't seen him for several years, but Michael. Yeah. Well, I've told you all I can. I'll be at your side every minute. Your capital, Your Majesty.
Rudolph rises and goes to the window. As the train slows and pulls into a station, thousands swarm the platform, waving small red flags. Rudolph puts on a gold helmet topped with an eagle. The train stops. Fritz and Zapt stand by as Rassendyll steps toward the door.
God save them both. Steady, lad.
Fritz steps out, followed by Zapt, then Rudolph. The Mock King salutes troops standing at attention and starts down a red carpet. Later, Michael and Hensaw wander through a massive cathedral.
It's the day, the hour, almost the moment.
History is born out of a bottle of wine.
Both turn as two rows of trumpeters lift their shiny instruments to the sky.
The king.
At the open doorway, Rudolph walks up a set of stairs and enters, flanked by Zapt and Fritz. He unbuttons his white gloves and pulls them off one finger at a time. Two attendants come forward to take them, along with his helmet. Nearby, an aide bows to Michael.
His Majesty has arrived, Your Highness.
He backs away.
The king? How is it possible?
Ride back to Zender at once. Find out who betrayed us.
If only he'd drunk what I wanted to put in that bottle.
Hensaw clicks his heels and strides off. Michael, walking with a cane, limps quickly into the next room and stops beside a gathering of officers. Across the cathedral, two giant doors open. Rudolph enters with Zapt, Fritz, and several officials. Formally attired guests bow and curtsy as the small procession starts down a red carpet lined with troops. Near the altar, Michael tightly clenches his jaw. Rudolph, with a strong, steady gait, surveys the room, his eyes shifting from side to side. Zapt keeps his eyes squarely focused on Rassendyll. Michael's monocle gleams as he studies the king. Rudolph, tall with an athletic build, wears a beige jacket with gold stripes and epaulets. A jeweled star adorns the neck of his high collar. A blue sash drapes across his broad chest. Nearing the end of the carpet, Rudolph eyes the altar where a cardinal and several clergy wait. As Michael steps out from the crowd to greet him, Fritz nervously furrows his brow. Michael bows to the man who appears to be his brother, then takes a good long look at him. Rudolph stands calm and still, allowing the Duke to glance up and down. Michael finally steps beside him and offers his arm. Rudolph takes the Duke's wrist with a firm grasp. As the procession continues toward the altar, Fritz heaves a sigh. Rudolph steps onto the altar to face the cardinal, who grips a golden staff and wears a jeweled mitre headdress and a gold-braided robe.
Look now upon our liege lord, Rudolph the Fifth, undoubted king of this realm. And if any man would deny our sovereign lord's title to our lands and fealty, let him speak now, or be a tainted traitor.
Michael parts his lips, but keeps still. A little later, Rudolph sits on a throne as a bishop hands the cardinal a crown.
Receive the crown of the kingdom, and understand what a glory of sanctity and honor and bravery it signifies.
He places it on Rudolph's head.
God save the king!
God save the king! God save the king!
Michael glares. Outside, soldiers fire cannons. In the cathedral, Rudolph Rassendyll stands with a robe draped around him. The cardinal hands him a sword. He holds it high.
I, Rudolph, with justice and mercy to deal sovereignty, to guard with vigilance and honor the welfare of my peoples, from all enemies to defend them, and from the throne of my ancestors to bear faithful rule, all this do I swear.
Later still, a young woman approaches the altar with hands clasped. Wearing a tiara atop her curly red hair, she bows before the new king.
I, Flavia, do become thy vassal, swearing to serve thee in truth with life and limb, until death findeth me. So help me God.
Flavia lifts her face to peer into his eyes. He stares at her with a look of wonder. Fine-featured, she has full lips, dewy eyes, and creamy skin. As she lowers her gaze, Rudolf turns to Zapt.
Do I kiss her?
Yes.
Zapt quickly stands at attention. Rudolf rises, takes a step closer, parts his heavy ermine robe, and stretches out his arms. He takes her hands in his to help her stand. Leaning forward, he kisses one cheek, then the other. The diamonds adorning his velvet crown glint as he warmly regards her. She breaks into a tiny smile. He steps down from the altar, and they turn to face the assembly. Michael's mouth forms a thin line. His chin puckers in a tight grimace. Hand in hand, the royal couple starts down the red carpet. Zapt shuts his eyes as a look of relief washes over his face. He marches behind them. Outside, bells ring in a tower atop the cathedral. Later, sentries on horseback lead an ornate coach through the streets. Inside, Rudolf and Flavia sit on golden cushions. They nod to cheering throngs, which line the sides of the road.
Well, I think everything went off very well, don't you? For a coronation. I mean, that is, not that a coronation shouldn't go well, provided the king puts in an appearance suitably dressed and suitably rehearsed.
And suitably sober.
And suitably sober. Yes, I was hoping you'd notice that. By the way, among my other failings, I've rather neglected you, haven't I?
2 picture postcards in 3 years, I think.
To think that all this time you've been changing into the loveliest princess in Europe. No, the loveliest girl in Europe.
Your new responsibilities do not compel you to shower me with compliments in private, Your Majesty.
You call this private?
He salutes the crowd.
I'm glad you think I've changed since you last saw me. You're different, too.
Well, wouldn't anybody seem different with all this going on? I probably look like a prize idiot and talk like one, too.
You're too modest. You really looked and acted like a king today.
Oh, thank you.
It was delightfully unexpected.
Oh.
He flashes a sly grin.
Aren't you forgetting something, Your Majesty?
What?
She nods to the throng.
Oh.
He waves.
That's better.
Wait. I've got an idea. Supposing you bow on my side of this goldfish bowl, and I'll salute on yours. Like that.
They nod to each other.
There. Isn't that more cozy?
She breaks into a bright smile. Nighttime. A crowd waves their hands and hats outside the castle gates. On the balcony, Rudolf kisses Flavia's hand.
I seem to like that.
She delicately slips her hand from his. Below, the crowd fervently waves. Rudolf gestures toward French doors and they step into a sitting room. Flavia cradles a bouquet of pink roses in her arms.
Bless them. They're with you heart and soul.
Me? It was you they were cheering. I felt like cheering you too when I first saw you.
Everyone's waiting for
you. Oh, please, don't go yet. It's such a relief to have you to myself for a moment. All day long I've been on parade. Cheered at, waved at, stared at. Not a moment to tell you.
Tell me what?
Well, that's enough to turn any man's head a bit. I'm crowned king. I meet the loveliest, the most beautiful woman.
Well, that isn't what you used to say. You used to call me that clumsy little scarecrow.
I did?
Yes.
I should have been horsewhipped.
Those were my very words. Once I kicked you, quite hard.
Good. I'm sure I deserved it, but I hope you never find it necessary to kick me again.
You know you've changed beyond all recognition. It's almost impossible to believe that anybody could change so much, and so quickly.
Well, it must be that you bring out the best in people.
No. You've become an entirely different person. They're waiting for us. We really must go.
Must we?
Michael comes toward them. Rudolph shuts the door in his face.
Another thing I always wanted to know, is the world outside really as wicked and exciting as the novels make out? What did you do on those long trips? When you went drinking, I mean.
Oh. Well, when I wasn't drinking, I used to go fishing.
Fishing? You used to despise fishing.
Well, I did and I didn't, if you follow me. Have you ever done any trout fishing?
No, and you know why.
Oh, I do?
I asked you to teach me, and you sent me home because I made too many mistakes and scared the fish.
Oh.
But once you really hurt me. You've forgotten, haven't you?
I wish you had, too.
It was my 14th birthday party. I had my first formal dress. I thought I was quite grown up. You were to be the guest of honor. I wanted to show you that the ugly duckling had become a swan.
He sits beside her.
What did I do?
At the end, when everyone had gone home and you still hadn't come, I hated you.
I'm beginning to hate myself. Yes.
Fritz enters.
Well?
His Highness Prince Michael is waiting to pay his respects to you, Your Majesty.
Well, let him wait.
Fritz gapes.
And furthermore, Captain von Tarnheim, I find your intrusion excessively irregular.
Rudolph winks at him, then turns back to Flavia. Wide-eyed, Fritz leaves.
Rudolph, it's not wise to provoke Michael deliberately.
Oh, why not? Why be worried about him?
I'm not. I'm worried about you.
Well, that's a different matter altogether. We can't allow that. Will you excuse me?
He rises with a bow and opens the door.
Ah, my dear Michael, I had no idea you'd been kept waiting. Why was I not informed of my brother's presence? I will not tolerate such inefficiency again, gentlemen.
Zapt raises his eyebrows. Rudolph gestures for Michael to enter. The Duke does, stepping over to Flavia.
This is indeed a privilege worth being kept waiting for, cousin.
It's most kind of you to say so, cousin.
You know, brother, this was a day I'd really been dreading. I had a queer feeling that something might go wrong. But with you in charge, my fears were foolish, weren't they? I can hardly thank you enough for arranging my affairs.
It's most gratifying to find Your Majesty in such excellent spirits after the strain of the day.
As a matter of fact, I've never felt so fit in my life. It must be the excitement. It's the first time I've ever been crowned, you know. Yeah, that's rather funny. Don't you think so, brother?
Very funny indeed.
Yeah. And then there's another reason I feel so well. I had an extraordinary native wine with my dinner last night. Soothed my nerves. Slept like a top. This one comes from very near your castle. You really ought to try it sometime, if ever you're troubled with insomnia.
I very seldom suffer with insomnia.
Indeed. That shows what a very clear conscience you must have.
I have. And I have yet to have a dream that did not come true, provided I waited long enough.
Yes, of course. Everything comes to him who waits.
He yawns, then puts on his monocle.
I see I bore Your Majesty. With Your Majesty's permission, I bid you good night.
Clicking his heels, Michael bows to Rudolph, then Flavia, and struts out.
Rudolph, do be careful. You know how bitterly he hates you.
Well, now he knows how bitterly I hate him.
You still can't afford to make an open enemy of him. He'd stop at nothing, even now, to ruin you.
Oh, you're overestimating him. Or perhaps you're underestimating me.
Rudolph, if you won't think of yourself, think of me. All my life I've known what my future had to be, and I was resigned to it. But now I don't have to tell you how different it is.
Flavia, forgive me. I had no idea that you might... that I would...
I only want you to realize how much your life means to your country.
My country.
And to your friends.
My friends.
And to your cousin and most loving servant.
She curtsies. He takes her hand and helps her rise.
What else matters?
She searches his face.
Good night, Rudolph.
No, don't go. Not yet. Stay a little longer.
But you'll be seeing me every day from now on. You may even get tired of me. Good night.
She opens the door, throws a glance back, then walks out. He follows her with his eyes.
Well, goodbye, Flavia.
Later, with Fritz.
What a day for you to remember. I'll never forget old Muller at the cathedral. He used to be the king's tutor. He fixed his eye on you and he never took it off. I was certain the game was up until I realized that eye was his glass one. By the way, Rasnell, what were you doing in there with the princess all that time? Can't you even leave the king to do his own lovemaking?
That's enough of that.
Zapped.
Are you ready to go, Rasnell? We must leave at once if I'm to have His Majesty back here by daylight. Remember, if anybody comes here to see the king, you're to say he's asleep.
Yes, sir.
If it's Michael, and that doesn't stop him...
That would be awkward.
So awkward that if that door is forced, you're not to be alive to tell about it.
Do you think I would be, sir?
Zap nods.
Good lad. Come on.
He helps Rudolph put on his coat.
Rasendor, I'm not much good at speech-making.
Well, we don't need one, do we?
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think I do, old man.
We have no time for sentiment.
Well, in a few hours' time, I'll be plain Rudolph Rasendor again.
You'll be lucky if you're not the late Rudolph Rasendor.
That's a happy thought.
I feel my head wobbling on my shoulders every minute you're in the city.
He opens a secret door.
Oh. In the old king's time, we used this more often than any other door in the palace. Saved many a royal head. Many a royal reputation. Yes, come on.
They step through it into a tunnel. Fritz shuts the door, which is disguised as a part of the wall. A little later, Rudolph and Zap speed through the dark countryside on horseback. They ride up to the king's darkened hunting lodge and dismount.
No lies, eh? That's odd.
They tie their horses to a post, head for the door, and step inside.
Joseph!
The house is dark and empty.
Joseph!
Zapt begins to search, peering into the next room.
Joseph!
Rudolph lights a candelabra and hands it to him. Together, they walk through a door and go down the stone staircase to the basement. At the bottom of the steps, they discover that the housekeeper no longer sits in the high-backed chair. Discarded ropes and a gag lie on the floor. They turn toward the wine cellar. Rudolph tries to open the door, but it won't budge. He slams against it with his shoulder. Zap gives him the candelabra, pulls out a pistol, and aims it at the lock. He pushes open the door and they step inside. The servant, Joseph, lies on the trunk where they had lain the king. A spot of blood stains his chest.
The king!
Look.
Rudolph finds a note. One king is enough for any kingdom.
Kidnapped.
Or murdered.
They stare at Joseph's body, then step out. Upstairs, later, they sit by a fire.
Michael's been in Strelsau all day. Still is.
Yes, but that young devil Hensaw isn't. I wondered why I hadn't seen him all day.
Well, that settles it. Now they know everything.
Yes, they know everything. But they can't speak. They can't denounce us without denouncing themselves. Can they say that wasn't the king because we kidnapped the king and murdered his servant? Can they say that?
Well, that won't prevent them murdering the king.
With you and Strelsau, they won't dare. If they do, they're finished. Can they kill him and leave you on the throne?
Rudolph starts.
No. You're asking too much. No man could carry on this masquerade indefinitely. I've done everything I can to help, but...
Yes, I suppose you're right. You've done everything that could be expected, more than could be expected. It's just that... Rudolph is my king. I have a feeling about the crown. I suppose I feel about it as another man might feel about the woman he loved. He wouldn't like to leave her to her fate without even a fight.
What will happen to her now?
Oh, Princess Flavia?
Yes.
If the king has been murdered, Michael, as regent, will proclaim her queen and then marry her.
She'd never submit to that.
Flavia's the princess of the royal house. She'd have no choice. She would expect none.
Rudolph steps toward him, scowling.
And will you stand by and let that happen to her?
Zap takes a puff on his pipe, then eyes Rassendyll.
Will you?
Rudolph clenches and unclenches his fist. Now an invitation reads, His Majesty the King commands the attendance of Her Royal Highness the Princess Flavia at the state ball in honor of His Majesty's coronation in the Royal Palace at Strelsaw, June the 9th, 1897 at 9 o'clock. Rassendyll crosses out His Majesty the King and writes Rudolph. Then he scratches out commands and scribbles begs and implores instead. At the bottom he adds, If you don't give me the first waltz, I'll cancel the ball, and signs it R. At the entrance to a ballroom, two footmen flank the open doorway while a major domo taps a staff on the floor.
His Majesty, the King!
The major domo steps away as Rudolph enters with Flavia on his arm. She wears a pink satin gown with puffy sleeves of tulle and long pink gloves. With one hand at the crook of his arm, she clutches a folded fan in the other. He wears a navy-colored dress uniform with silver braid and white gloves. They proceed down a marble staircase to a gathering below. The guests, all attired in evening gowns or dress uniforms, form two lines at the bottom of the steps. The royal couple marches between them, stepping over an insignia inlaid in the floor of a crowned lion and griffin holding up a shield. The guests bow and curtsy in turn as Rudolph and Flavia pass. When they approach the center of the massive ballroom, a white-mustached chamberlain steps out to greet them.
Your Majesty.
Rudolph shakes his hand.
I'm delighted to see you.
Flavia whispers in Rudolph's ear. He turns to a man behind them, who bows.
Avec la permission de sa majesté, le bal commence. Valse générale.
On a balcony, a conductor with a bushy mustache and mutton chops waves his baton before an orchestra. Rudolph takes Flavia in his arms and they begin to dance. All around them, guests form couples and waltz. Embracing, they wheel across the floor. Michael stands in a corner, muttering under his breath. On the dance floor, Flavia gazes into the mock king's eyes.
Rudolph, are you worried about something?
Worried? With you in my arms? I was just thinking there'll never be another night quite like this, or another waltz quite like this.
I'll never forget tonight as long as I live, if that's what you mean.
Nor will I.
With his arm around her waist, he sweeps her across the floor.
Do you have to dance with anybody else tonight, Flavia?
I dance only as my king commands.
Well, then your king commands that...
They stop dancing. Everyone else does, too. Rudolph glances around uncertainly.
Why do they all stop?
You know the rule, because we do.
And you mean that if we start, they'll go on?
Of course.
He takes her into his arms. The dancing resumes. Fritz, waltzing with a lady-in-waiting, keeps his eyes trained on the royal couple, who happily dance on the other side of the ballroom.
When we go out on the terrace, will they all come trooping out after us?
Of course not.
Well, then.
They stop. The conductor shrugs.
Let's go out on the terrace.
Not now.
Later.
Later.
They start to dance. The conductor vigorously waves his baton. Fritz takes his partner into his arms with a smile to Rudolph and Flavia.
That is, if we can slip away.
Oh, no. I want that promise.
They stop dancing. The guests all look on expectantly.
Not a step until I get that promise.
I promise.
He wraps his arm around her waist. The ball continues. Later, as Flavia confers with two guests, Zapt pulls Rudolph aside.
The British ambassador, newly appointed. Do you know him?
Yes.
Let us trust in Providence.
We'll never get Providence interested in this enterprise.
The diplomat approaches.
Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness, His Excellency the British Ambassador and Lady Topham.
Your Excellency.
The ambassador and his wife look over the mock king.
Your Majesty, Her Britannic Majesty the Queen Empress commands me to convey her felicitations upon your coronation.
Be pleased to convey our thanks to Her Majesty. You may also add our felicitations upon her jubilee.
Your Majesty, would it be premature to congratulate you upon Your Majesty's approaching wedding?
Flavia blushes.
Well, yes, it might be.
She shoots him a look. The ambassador nods.
Rudolph, we should pay our respects to His Eminence the Cardinal.
He offers his arm. She takes it. As they step away, the ambassador turns to his wife.
Amazing resemblance to the younger Rassendyll.
Not the slightest.
With the cardinal.
Your Eminence has greatly honored us tonight.
Your Majesty's subjects already love their king. I think they're impatient to love their queen as well.
I'm grateful for the interest of the people and of Your Eminence.
Graciously answered. And now, the preparations for the ceremony of necessity are going to be many and elaborate. Would it please Your Majesty to name the day?
Rudolph anxiously looks to Zapt.
Now? Tonight?
It was understood that the ceremony would shortly follow the coronation.
Well, shall we say in 6 months' time?
Her eyes widen.
So long, the postponement?
Your Eminence, there's an old proverb which counsels us against crossing bridges before we come to them.
If Your Majesty would examine that proverb, I think you would find it very difficult to cross a bridge at any other time.
Well, I'm sure my cousin will understand.
Your cousin begs leave to bid Your Majesty and Your Eminence good night.
Good night, my child.
She walks off.
You'll excuse us, Your Majesty.
He quickly follows.
Flavia, you promised to go out on the terrace with me.
Is that a command, Your Majesty?
That's a command, but a very humble one.
He offers his arm. She gingerly takes it. Rudolph leads her through open French doors into a terrace garden. Zapt trails a discreet distance behind. Watching the couple, he lights his pipe as they stroll down a walkway.
Why did you ask me out here?
Well, I couldn't let you go home while you were still angry with me.
I'm sure you had excellent reasons for what you said.
Oh, believe me, I have. There are times when a man might find it impossible to do even what his heart prompts him to do. But I never could willingly do anything to hurt you.
Well, how can I believe you when I don't even understand you?
Then will you believe this without understanding? I love you.
Blinking, she turns to face him.
Oh, is it true? Or do you say that because you must?
I love you more than truth, or life, or honor.
He draws her into his embrace and kisses her passionately. She responds with a second, more gentle kiss, then rests her head on his shoulder.
Oh, tell me, Rudolph, why is it that I love you now with all my heart when I never even liked you before?
Never before?
It was at the coronation. I looked at you and...
That was the first time you loved me.
You ask that as if you'd be pleased to hear me say yes.
Would yes be true?
Yes.
He presses his lips to hers again, then wraps his arms tightly around her. Her eyes shine with warmth.
You seem so different. I wanted you to be different from the Rudolph I knew, from the Rudolph I didn't love. And you are, and you aren't.
Flavia, if I were different, if I were not the king...
Why do you say that?
Could you still love me if I were not the king?
In my heart, there is no king, no crown, only you.
Flavia, I am not...
Your Majesty!
Zapt approaches.
1,000 pardons, Your Majesty. His Eminence the Cardinal is waiting to take his leave.
Must not keep His Eminence waiting.
Is anything wrong, Colonel Zapt?
Nothing, Your Highness. It is always my unpleasant task to be the reminder of duty.
Faithful Colonel Zapt.
God bless your Royal Highness. But above all, God save the King.
God save the King.
Gazing into Rudolph's eyes, she curtsies to him. He bows slightly. Flavia turns to a nearby bush, plucks off a bright red rose and holds it out. He takes her gloved hand into his, and together they hold the blossom. Later, in a parlor with Zapt, Rudolph clutches the rose.
The romance progressed very well tonight. You struck a good blow for the King.
What's to prevent me striking a blow for myself?
Don't take it so, lad. You're bound in honor to play the King's part for
me. Honor? Have you left me any honor?
Come, come.
You forgot the human element, didn't you? I'm a man in love with a woman who loves me. You saw tonight. You heard.
I did.
Well, then why should I ever leave the throne? Could you expose me? If you did, you'd get Michael in my place. I could marry the princess and send the King and Michael to...
If you did that, you'd have to kill me first.
Well, and what if I did? I could raise all Stelzau against you in an hour.
You could do that, but you wouldn't.
Then find the King. Find him!
He locks onto Zapt's gaze.
Before it's too late.
Now, Michael and Henshaw.
Odd, a man not knowing his own brother. But I assure you, they're enough alike to be twins.
You're trying to tell me the man I saw crowned is an imposter?
Not your type of fiction, I see, Your Highness. Too incredible. But still, these things do happen. I knew twin sisters once who... But that's another story. I see Your Highness isn't interested. Shall I go to market elsewhere?
If what you say is true, why hasn't the King been heard from? Where is he?
He's in a woodcutter's cabin. Oh, and by the way, royal blood is not blue as most people think. It's red. I know, because I had to spill a little.
You've abducted him.
It's an old medieval custom, abducting kings.
Rupert, only you could have carried out a coup like that. What have you done with him?
Well, there's one thing we haven't discussed. In fact, it's, same old topic.
In a cabin, you say? But where, man, where?
Now, why do people abduct kings? For fun, Your Highness. Surely there's always a little matter of the king's ransom.
You can be the first man in the kingdom. After the king.
How much down on account?
10,000.
That's a poor price for a king. And a crown.
20.
Well, it's too cheap, but I will admit he's a bit of a nuisance, always whining about being chained up.
How badly did you wound him?
Not fatally, I'm afraid, but the cabin is very damp, Your Highness. He could easily develop pneumonia.
And let the Englishman reign for the rest of his life? Could we ever expose him?
That hadn't occurred to me.
But if the Englishman died first and was buried in the cathedral as the king...
There are moments in your presence, Your Highness, when I feel myself an amateur.
This fraud is an insult to the whole country.
Your Highness shows me the path of duty. It is the simple duty of a patriot to kill him like a dog.
He grabs a cigarette and strikes a match on his boot.
There are times, Rupert, when we need the ladies. Even in matters of state. I'm about to ask a great service of you and of Antoinette.
Now, Rudolph holds an envelope. Deliver instantly.
Rudolph Rassendyll. Couldn't be a bill from my tailor, I suppose.
He sits up in bed. Fritz stands beside him, chuckling. Rudolph takes out a letter.
If Mr. Rassendyll desires to know the whereabouts of the king, let him come tonight at 2 o'clock to the deserted summer house behind the wall on Boulevard Elfberg. He must be alone. If he neglects this invitation, he may harm the Princess Flavia.
Oh, obviously a trick of Michael's. They must take you for a fool.
Now, wait a minute. There's a bit more. If you hesitate, consult Captain von Tarnheim.
Oh, they must take me for an even bigger fool.
Ask him what woman would do most to prevent Michael from marrying the Princess Flavia, and therefore most to prevent his becoming king, and ask if her name begins with A.
A. Antoinette de Mauban, a French woman madly in love with Michael. Of course, she'll lose him if...
Where is the Boulevard Elfberg?
Are you going?
I am.
Not without me.
Good man. But no Colonel Zapt. He'd have 14 different reasons why we shouldn't go, and all of them good ones. Well, if the Colonel can't get news of the King, we'll get it for him.
Throwing off the bed covers, he climbs out. Later, Rudolph and Fritz approach an estate. On the outer perimeter, a garden gate stands open. Fritz pulls a pistol and peers inside, but Rudolph raises his hand to halt him, then waves the captain away. Rassendyll points to a tree in a corner along the high stone wall. He checks to make sure there's no one around, then quickly scales the tree to the top of the ivy-covered wall. He peers over the ledge, climbs on top, then gestures for Fritz to stay put. With a quick salute, he jumps down. On the other side, Rudolph lands behind a thick bush. He adjusts the black visor on his cap, straightens up, and tiptoes forward. He starts to unfasten a leather pouch strapped around his waist. Ducking behind a tree, he whips a revolver out of the pouch. Several yards away, he spies a door cracking open. It leads into a darkened wooden cabin. Rudolph glances around, then heads toward it. He peeks inside and quickly steps through. A woman standing behind the door shuts and locks it. It's Antoinette, dressed in a ruffled cape with a gossamer scarf wrapped around her dark hair. She steps out of the shadows to face him.
You know this is a trap, don't you? Three men are coming here to kill you.
Where's the king?
Before I tell you, I must have your word. No harm to Michael.
Why do you betray him in one breath and then plead for his life in the next?
Think what you like. Think that I just don't like murder. Think that I'm just a jealous woman. Have I your word?
Yes. As much as I can give it, if you tell the truth.
They're moving the king tonight. From a hut in the forest to Michael's castle near Zenda.
That's what I wanted to know.
Wait. The castle is attacked. The king will be killed instantly. No trace of his body will be found.
Charming character, your friend Michael.
You want my helper, don't you?
Yes.
She turns away. He takes her elbow.
How do we rescue the king?
Leave that to me. He must have his friends at hand. At his hunting lodge on some excuse or other. Boar hunting, perhaps. As soon as I can arrange an escape, I'll get word to you.
How will I know it isn't another trap of Michael's?
She gives him one of her earrings.
The man I send you will have the mate to this. Now go, and go quickly.
And you?
Michael finds out what I've done. You and I will not meet again.
Good luck. In everything.
To you, with the princess. They've come. They're too soon.
Mr. Rassendyll.
Clenching his pistol, he sidles up to the door.
Mr. Rassendyll, forgive me if I interrupt you at an inopportune moment.
But I'd like a friendly word with you. I'm alone and unarmed.
It's Rupert of Hensar. Don't trust him.
You can talk with the door between us, Count Hensar.
Will you give me your word not to fire while we talk?
I'll give you my word not to fire before you do. To say what you have to say from where you are.
As you please. A truce while I offer peace terms. £50,000 in English notes and safe conduct to the frontier.
He and two henchmen have guns.
That sounds fair enough.
Well, do you accept?
Give me a moment to think it over.
Get out of the light of fire.
Yes.
She steps away from the door. Rudolph goes to a table and hops on top.
Count Hensar! Majesty!
Rudolph pockets his pistol.
I hold you to your word and accept your offer.
Congratulations. The money's in my pocket and there's a good horse waiting for you. Come out.
I prefer you to come in. It's less public.
He climbs through a hole in the roof.
Careful. He'll shoot first.
But after he's given his word in England, that simply isn't done. Open it. What, when there are three against one? All right, I'll open it myself.
He rams against the door. Hensaw aims at the hole. Rudolph throws rubble down at him. One of the men sticks his head out a window. Rudolph hurls a fallen tree limb and hits him. Then he springs from the roof onto a young tree. It bends and drops him to the ground. Hensaw rushes out of the cabin with his henchmen. Fritz returns their fire. The count ducks back inside. Rudolph takes a running leap onto a tree. Swinging from limb to limb, he zips to the garden wall and jumps to the other side.
Fritz!
The captain races after Rudolph. Now, a note reads, by order of His Majesty the King, all engagements are cancelled. His Majesty is leaving at once for the hunting lodge at Zenda. At the palace, Rudolph, wearing an overcoat, faces Flavia.
I regret that we have failed to keep Your Majesty sufficiently amused here in Strelsau. I would have suggested a much more varied program than just riding with me. Only I was foolish enough to believe that...
To believe what?
To believe you were serious when you told me you preferred my company to the courts,
I should have known better, but I'm sure after a really exciting boar hunt, you will be your old self again.
Are you angry with me?
Oh, what right have I to be angry? Last night you made me feel that every hour away from me was wasted. But boar hunting, that's quite a different matter.
Do you think I want to go?
Oh, of course you don't. Your first duty is to the boars. They would never forgive you if you didn't hunt them and kill them.
Perhaps the boars will hunt me. They might even kill me. Doesn't the thought of my danger touch you? Or do you weep for my danger?
Oh, this is like you used to be, but not like the king I've come to love.
Oh, my darling. Do you really think that I would leave you to go hunting?
Then you're not going.
I'm not going hunting. That is, not just for boar.
Then what? Rudolph, it's Michael.
Indirectly.
Oh, darling, you mustn't go.
My sweet. Shall I tell them that I can't go because you and I have an engagement to go riding?
I won't let you go. Send someone else.
What kind of a king would do that?
But I don't understand why...
And I can't tell you now. But I will tell you the moment I can. You believe that, don't you?
Yes, of course I do. Forgive me, Rudolph. I behave like a spoiled child. You see, I've never been in love before.
Oh, my darling.
He wraps her into his arms and kisses her. Releasing Flavia, Rudolph gazes longingly into her eyes, then tenderly kisses her mouth.
I really must go.
He starts to turn away, but embraces her again with a peck on the cheek.
Stay here. Let me go alone. No, don't turn. If I see your eyes, I might forget to be a king.
As she stands with her back to him, he goes to the door and opens it.
Rudolph, come back to me soon.
Shan't a man come back to the loveliest woman in all the world? 1,000 Michaels couldn't keep me from you. But if I shouldn't, you'd never forget me.
Never.
You'd be a brave queen and do your part.
Though my life be empty and my heart dead,
you would do your part.
With one last longing look, he walks out.
Rudolph!
She tightly folds her hands together. Now the Count rides up to the hunting lodge. Several soldiers step forward to greet him with their revolvers. Inside, Rudolph watches through a window with Fritz and Zapt.
Put away those pop guns and take me to the king.
The men holster their weapons. Inside.
Well, the man's got courage. You must grant him that.
I'll grant him 6 feet of earth when the time comes.
No time like the present. Your Majesty, Count Hensaw with a message from the Duke of Strelsaw.
Tell him His Majesty is indisposed.
Now, wait a minute. Let's hear what he has to say. Send him in.
Disarm him first.
The officer opens the door to Hensaw, who coolly hands over his pistol and steps inside.
Ah, the play actor in person.
Hensaw.
The Count salutes.
Your Majesty. I bring you your brother's humble greetings and his hope that you enjoy the boar hunting here in Zender. And his respect, of course, to your two principal boars.
Rudolph eyes Fritz and Zapt.
Well, what priced the crown today? The last offer was £50,000. Do I hear perhaps 52,000?
You'd hear a much better offer than that, in private.
With a look to the others, Rudolph rises and points to a window seat. As they cross to it, Fritz and Zapp step away.
Oh, before we go any further, I must tell you that I'm prepared to give you a chance to escape your thoroughly well-deserved end on the condition that you yourself return the prisoner of Zender to me alive.
Really, Mr. Rassendyll, do you seriously expect me to believe that you, of all people, want the king back? You insult my intelligence.
I see. Well, then you've come a very long way for nothing.
I hope not, for Michael's sake.
Oh, you brought another of his generous ultimatums.
I have. He doubles his offer, £100,000.
They exchange a look.
I thought it would amuse you. The fact is, between ourselves, Michael doesn't understand a gentleman.
You and I, we do, don't we?
Rassendyll, you're a man after my own heart. Frankly, you and I are the only two people worth saving in this whole affair now, aren't we? This is my plan for us. Now listen. Attack the castle boldly. Let your
friends, right at the head, there's bound to be a little rifle play at first.
Oh, unavoidable.
Arrange the time with me.
I have such confidence in you, of course.
Michael will fall. The king will already have moved on to a happier life in the next world. And your friends, if they fall too, you and I, Rupert of Hensau, and you, king of the realm, will be the only two left who know the truth.
Don't you think we're being perhaps just a little drastic with Michael?
Perhaps a little, but I make it a point never to trust a jealous man, don't you?
Michael, jealous?
You know the lady, I think.
Oh, in the summer house. But surely no woman in her right senses would prefer the Duke to you.
Women are never in their right senses, thank goodness.
So you're doing all this for love. How romantic.
Well, love and your Majesty's gratitude throughout your long and happy reign. And then, of course, you might turn over to me Michael's castles and estates.
Oh, yes, of course. We mustn't lose sight of those. You never know whose hands they might fall into.
Look what I offer you, the throne and the princess. You were planning on them anyway, but this way it's sure. Shall we shake hands on it?
He offers his. Rudolf stares down at it. Rudolf walks away.
Hey, Zap, Fritz, listen to this. Count Hensor offers me the throne. That is, if you two don't mind being killed.
Their turn comes later, player. Yours comes now.
Hensaw pulls a knife out of his sleeve and flings it at Rudolf. He just misses his head. The Count jumps out the window and onto his horse. As he takes off, Zapt and a guard shoot after him. Hensaw's horse leaps over a wall and rides into the woods. Back in the lodge, Rudolf eyes the dagger. It's stuck in a wall less than an inch away. Rattled, he pulls out the blade and stares at it. Now, Hensaw rides past a moat toward a castle. Inside, a little later, he enters a basement dungeon and finds two of his men in a guard room playing cards. He takes a bite from an apple and studies their hands.
Play the queen, you blockhead.
The guard does and smiles. The count steps into a cell and finds Antoinette dabbing a cloth on King Rudolph's forehead.
Florence Nightingale. O woman in our hours of ease, uncertain, coy, and hard to please. When pain and anguish wring the brow, a ministering angel thou.
She shoots him a look, rises, and sashays out. The chained king struggles to sit up on his cot as the count approaches.
I have some water.
You find plenty of water down here, sire.
He goes over to a trap door in the floor and lifts it open. The king leans forward to get a better look.
So even a king can be curious, I see.
He drops his apple through the door.
Now, Jacob's ladder went up into the sky, didn't it? Well, this goes down into the moat. But it serves the same purpose. Because if this castle is attacked, there are always two of us in the guardroom, just up those steps, ready to shove you down Jacob's ladder. Properly weighted, of course.
I'd like to be left alone, if your orders permit.
The audience has entered, Your Majesty. Very well, sire.
He clicks his heels.
Try to get some sleep. And may you dream of Jacob's ladder with paradise at the end of it.
He kicks the trap door closed. With a hardened look, the count strides to the cell door and enters the guard room. Michael approaches.
Oh, I've just done my best to make His Majesty more receptive.
All right.
Michael goes into the cell. With the aid of his cane, he walks to the king's cot.
Your Majesty, what do you expect to gain by this except death?
Your admission that now, your senses restored, you have come to realize that the people would never accept a king with your, shall we say, all too human failings.
He takes out some paper.
What's that?
Your abdication. As soon as you have signed this, a comfortable bed is yours, and the best of care until you're strong enough to cross the frontier.
The king weakly lifts his sweaty face to study the paper, then regards his half-brother.
I haven't lived like a king, but Perhaps I can die like one and not disgrace the crown I never wore.
At the hunting lodge, a soldier enters and salutes Rudolph.
The man is here who insists he has a personal message for His Majesty. He says he's one of the Duke's men, sir.
You searched him thoroughly?
Certainly, sir.
Send him in.
If only this is from...
Quiet!
The soldier re-enters with a messenger.
What is it you want?
I have a message for him.
He holds out an earring.
I am to tell you that a troop of the Duke's hussars arrives tomorrow. If there is to be a rescue, it must be tonight.
Later.
You may count on me, sir. I am to lower the drawbridge at 2 hours past midnight.
But the noise! You say the king will be killed at the first alarm?
That is correct. Madame says before the bridge can go down, one of your men must swim the moat and climb to her room.
And then?
Alone, one man might reach the dungeon. That man alone must hold off the guards from murder until the others can cross the drawbridge and get below.
Always two guards on the prisoner, you say?
Two by day and two by night, sir.
Any other men who can fight?
Only His Highness and Count Rupert tonight.
Three against six. Well, tell Madame that we'll be on the shore at 2 o'clock waiting for her signal. Then I will swim the moat. The others will wait until you lower the bridge.
He shakes the messenger's hand.
Good luck.
The messenger bows, then walks out.
But why three against six? Surely we can take our men.
Oh, we don't dare if the secret's to be kept.
No, the odds are too great. We must have help at hand if we need it. Tell them to come.
Well, I think I should be the one to swim that moat.
Right, lad. We can't afford to lose both our kings.
You'll lose one king tonight, whatever takes place. If anything should happen to him and not to me, your game's up anyway. I've been an imposter for your sake. I'll not be one for my own. No, Fritz. I swim that moat.
If we do lose you both, what's to become of those of us who are left?
They'll serve Queen Flavia. I would to God I could be one of them.
Now, the three men ride up to the Duke's moat, followed by a corps of soldiers. They all stop near a wall of trees. Rudolph, Fritz, and Zapt dismount, leaving the men behind. They crouch behind bushes beside a low stone wall. Several yards away, water ripples across the moat below a brightly lit window. Fritz takes out a pocket watch and flips it open. It reads exactly 2 o'clock. Rudolph notices a shadow approaching and alerts the other two men. The silhouetted figure of a woman comes to the window, holding a candle. She slowly waves it back and forth. Rudolph peels off his jacket, then removes his scarf and cap. Pulling off his gloves, he steps over to the moat. A sheathed dagger hangs at his waist. In the window, Antoinette continues to wave the candle. Rudolph climbs over the low wall. Fritz and Zapt take hold of his hands and lower him into the water. They let go, and he starts to swim with an easy breaststroke. On the second story, a man opens another window. Rassendil dives below the surface out of sight. Zapt and Fritz's eyes widen in terror. They duck behind the wall and whip out their pistols. Above, Hensaw rests 1 foot on the window ledge. He takes a final puff on a cigarette, then flings it out. Leaning forward, he notices the wildly rippling water, but Rassendil can barely be seen. Hensaw steps back inside and shuts the window. Rudolph rises to the surface, brushing his wet hair away from his eyes. As he swims toward Antoinette's room, Fritz and Zapt come out from their hiding place. Just below the window, Rudolph climbs out of the water and tightly grips the edges of large stones along the castle wall. Antoinette and her messenger peer out to watch his progress. As he reaches the ledge, they grab his hands and help him inside. Moments later, Rudolph warms himself at the fireplace. Antoinette, wearing a dressing gown, turns to the messenger, who clenches a revolver.
Go now. Give Mr. Rassendil time to hide in the passage. Then open the great doors and let down the bridge.
I hope I can work the mechanism, madame.
I certainly hope you can.
The messenger gives him the gun and leaves.
The Duke is retired for the night. Hensaw is in charge of the guards.
I was hoping I'd meet that fellow again.
The crash of the bridge will arouse the castle. The guards will follow their orders and kill the king before your men can get to him. Unless
I can handle the two of them,
Until my men get down to me. That's it, isn't it?
Exactly. You see, I've trusted you. Your word. No harm to Michael.
We're all agreed. It means exile, I'm afraid, but that's what you wanted, isn't it?
Yes.
She cracks open her bedroom door.
Down the steps is the passage to the guardroom. Across the guardroom is the door to the dungeon and the king.
Rudolph takes a stealthy step into the corridor. He gently pats Antoinette's hand, then walks away. As he tiptoes through the main hall, Johann, the messenger, approaches the nearby entrance. Short with a slender build, the servant has graying mutton chops. He carefully slides back the bolt to unlock the tall double doors. Johann steps away from the entrance. Rudolph, his gun in hand, starts to sneak through the main hall. Light glows from the fireplace into the darkened room. Two guards approach from a landing above. Rudolph hides behind a large pillar. Johann darts into the shadows. The tip of Rudolph's dagger scrapes against the pillar. The guards stop and glance around. One turns to the other.
What was that? Must have been somebody shutting a door. Probably Madame's.
He pats his partner on the back as they shuffle off. Rudolph slowly comes out from behind the pillar. Spotting the men, he takes a quick step back. The guards go down a stairway and head for the basement. Rudolph starts to tiptoe after them.
What's the matter? You're 10 minutes early.
While Henshaw walks up with two guards, Rudolph hides again.
Burglars? Is it true he sent for more men, Count Henshaw?
Yes, a whole garrison.
Let's hope he gives us an 8-hour watch after this. 12 hours is too long on guard.
Keeps you out of mischief.
You run in and out as you like. We've got to stay in that dirty hall.
The Count spots Antoinette's cracked door.
I've got to make the run to the doors and bridge before I turn in.
The daytime guards go upstairs. As Henshaw steps through the main hall, Johann slips further into the shadows. Rudolph keeps watch from a dark corner. The Count pushes open the door and finds Antoinette standing in the middle of her bedroom. He leans against the doorframe.
It was very careless of you to leave your door ajar. Very careless. And very inviting.
Oh, yes.
Come now, admit I've been patient. And patience is a virtue I generally lack.
You never lack audacity, Rupert. Had it occurred to you, I might not be alone.
I always accept the risks. I'm prepared for them.
Her brown eyes shift away for a moment, then back.
You really shouldn't be here, you know.
Of course. I shouldn't.
Stepping into her room, he shuts the door behind him. Johann darts out of his hiding place and rushes up the stairs. When he reaches the second floor landing, he grabs hold of a rope. In the process, he accidentally knocks a metal bar down the steps. Johann hides as Michael comes out of his nearby room. The Duke turns toward Antoinette's room. With a stern look, he shuts his own door, goes down the steps, and makes his way through the main hall to her door. Rudolph takes a step out of the corner and watches Michael. The Duke bursts into Antoinette's bedroom and finds her in Henshaw's arms. They turn toward him.
Always inopportune, Michael, but always in time.
He stalks toward them, scowling at the Count.
The moat can hold more than a king.
Not without making a splash that would be heard all over the kingdom.
Michael pulls a saber out of his cane, but Henshaw stabs him with a dagger.
Michael!
The Duke drops to the floor. Antoinette rushes over and kneels at his side.
Michael! Michael! I would never have betrayed you. I did it only to save you, my darling.
His eyes shut, and he grows still. Henshaw slips out of the room and spots Johann. The messenger crouches on the landing above, untying the rope to the drawbridge. Henshaw sneaks over to the stairway and up the steps. Picking up the metal bar, he stands over Johann, who continues untying the drawbridge rope. The Count raises the bar high in the air and knocks him out. The Count opens a door.
Degote! Lahngram! Round the castle!
He starts back down the steps.
Degote! Lahngram!
The guards quickly follow.
The drawbridge!
He leads them to the entrance.
A quarter seven trying to lower the drawbridge. Must have been bribed. Go outside and guard it.
In the dungeon, a shadowy figure approaches with a pistol. It's Rudolf. He steps forward, startling one of the guards.
You better be quiet and get some sleep.
He gestures for the man to sit at a table and pretend to play solitaire while he hides behind a pillar. The second guard steps out of the open cell. He spots Rudolf's shadow on the wall. The first guard nods toward the pillar. The second strolls around the other side and comes up behind Rudolf. He wraps one arm around Rassendyll's neck and knocks the pistol away with the other.
Kill a prisoner!
The first guard runs into the cell with a saber. Rudolf flips the second over his back, then stabs him with his dagger. In the cell, the first lifts the trap door. He turns to the king, who lies on his cot, and raises the saber. Rassendyll speeds in and tries to pull the sword out of his grip. The sharp tip hovers inches above the king's throat. Rassendyll throws the guard to the floor and punches him in the jaw. They wrestle on the ground. The guard tries to force Rudolf through the trap door. Rassendyll manages to knock the saber away and into the moat. On the cot, the king struggles to sit up.
I'll help.
His chains keep him down. On the floor, Rudolf kicks the guard away and jabs him. He punches him left and right, trips him up, and throws the guard out the trap door. He rushes to the king.
It's all right now, Your Majesty. You're safe.
Rudolf runs out, locking the door.
Mr. Rassendyll?
Hensaw stands in the guardroom doorway with a gun. Rudolf, holding the cell keys, raises his arms and slowly steps toward him.
I thought you were more at home with a knife.
My knife turned out to be more at home in Michael. We got in each other's way once too often, just as you and I have. May I trouble you for those keys?
Rudolf tosses them to him.
Thank you. You've settled Kraftstein, I see. Berson in two, I presume. I almost hate to see you join them with only a bullet in you.
Wait a minute. How do you know it's Bersonin I threw into the moat, not the king?
Oh, no. You've worn the queen's uniform and the old school tie. You'd never use my methods, Mr. Rassendyll.
Oh, I don't know. Faced with death, I might. May I have a last cigarette while we review the situation?
Hensaw hooks the key ring around one hand, reaches into his pants pocket, and pulls out a silver case. He throws it to Rudolf, who catches it and takes out a cigarette.
Half my kingdom!
Hensaw coolly regards him.
For a match.
The Count takes out a small silver box and throws it to Rudolf. Rassendyll removes a match and lights his smoke.
You've got your eye on Michael's castle and estates, or at least so you tell me.
Yes. You found it very amusing, I remember.
Well, I'm scarcely in the position to laugh at it now.
Oh, I don't know. At least this time you'll die laughing.
Thank you.
He chucks the case in the air. Hensaw reaches for it. Rudolf rushes him. He beats the gun out of the Count's hand and knocks it between the bars of a grating. Hensaw grabs a sword and lunges. Rudolf ducks. The Count's sword chops the table instead.
No good. I can't get used to fighting with furniture. Where did you learn it?
On the playing fields at Eton.
He kicks a chair at him.
I see now how much I missed by not going to Eton.
Nevertheless, you did them one great service.
He pitches a vase.
Yes? What was that?
You didn't go to Eton.
He heaves a coat covering Hensaw's face. Rudolf grabs a saber. Hensaw pulls off the coat. The two cross swords.
All right, this will be your last fencing lesson. Look out for your head.
He thrusts. Rudolf parries, stepping back. He kicks the table over in Hensaw's path. The Count jumps out of the way.
Why don't you stand your ground and fight?
He who fights and runs away, remember?
Hensaw rushes him. Rudolf tries to slice his throat. then opens the door and sprints up the steps. Hensaw follows him into the main hall and thrusts. Rudolph blocks with his sword and drives him toward the stairway leading to the second floor.
So you want to try and get to the drawbridge? I just killed a man for trying that.
An unarmed man, of course.
Of course.
Hensaw jumps toward him. Rudolph attacks. The count blocks his thrusts. Rassendyll leaps behind a pillar. Hensaw follows, forcing Rudolph into a chair. Rudolph jumps up and ducks behind it. Hensaw slices off a wooden knob, then topples the chair. The two face off beside the fireplace. Rudolph circles the air with his saber, then goes for Hensaw. Locking swords fiercely, they nearly fall into the fire. Rudolph shoves him aside and runs toward the stairway. Hensaw blocks his path. Rudolph backs him against a wall and side leaps onto the steps. Hensaw slashes at him but misses. Rudolph speeds halfway up, then turns to defend himself against Hensaw's attack. Hensaw grabs Rudolph's arm and hurdles his sword over the open-sided stairway. It lands in the hall below. Rudolph stands defenseless. Hensaw lunges. Rudolph dodges and weaves. He leaps onto a nearby flagpole and swings down into the hall. Hensaw dashes back down the steps as his opponent picks up his sword. Rassendyll runs to one side of a table, the count to the other. Hensaw tries to cut his foe across the tabletop, but his sword won't reach. As he comes around, they battle again, face to face. Hensaw drives Rudolph back, but Rudolph parries each of his thrusts. The count forces him against a window, trying to push him out. Rudolph springs out of his way. Hensaw breaks a pane with his sword. Rudolph jumps away from the window. Hensaw hacks toward his face. Rudolph blocks and shoves him aside. Hensaw stumbles backward and flips over a table. Landing on the floor, he breaks a stool. He hurls one of the pieces at Rudolph. Rassendyll trips. The count rushes him. Rudolph kicks and flips him over. Hensaw scrambles to his feet. As they lock swords, they fall onto a table together, then roll onto the floor. Standing, they thrust and parry again. Rudolph kicks Hensaw away. The count lands on his back. Rudolph races for the steps. Hensaw trips him, but Rudolph rises and sprints halfway up. Following, the count snatches a torch and tries to burn Rudolph's face. Rassendyll ducks and slashes it out of his hand. He runs and reaches the landing, but Hensaw wrestles him to the floor. Rudolph stretches out his sword and cuts the drawbridge rope halfway through, but it holds. As he tries to cut the rest, Hensaw whips out a dagger and points it at his throat. Rudolph just manages to block it with the hilt of his sword. He bites the count's wrist. Hensaw drops the knife. As they get to their feet, Hensaw fervently attacks with lunges and quick slicing motions. Rudolph backs away from him, jumps onto a massive spool of chain connected to the drawbridge, and cuts the attached rope. Hensaw fiercely jabs Rudolph's right arm while the chain begins to unwind. Outside, the drawbridge lowers. The two guards come forward with pistols as Zapt, Fritz, and the soldiers charge on horseback. One of the horses is shot and its soldier tumbles to the ground. Another falls. A third drops into the moat. The rest stampede over the bridge, driving the guardsmen back. Inside, Rudolph tries to fight off Hensaw using his good left arm.
It's beginning to sound too much like the playing fields of Eton.
He springs to a window.
I'll return to fight another day, too.
He hurls his sword. Rudolph knocks it away.
Goodbye, play actor.
Opening the window, Hensaw jumps out and dives gracefully into the moat. Zap charges in with Fritz and the soldiers. Rudolph staggers forward, clutching his wounded arm.
All right, stand by in the courtyard.
The king. The king lives.
He collapses on a landing. Daytime. The king lies in bed with Zap at his side.
You know, it seems 100 years... since I struck you in the face. Please forgive me and be my guide as you were my father's.
He offers his hand. Zapt shakes it.
Thank you, Your Majesty. And now, we mustn't keep him waiting.
Bowing his head, Colonel Zapt goes to the door, opens it, and steps out.
Rudolph comes in with his arm in a black sling. His temples are gray again. The lookalikes exchange a smile. Rudolph bows and shuts the door. He saunters to the king's bedside, slips off the royal gold ring, and slides it onto the monarch's finger.
I've tried to wear it with honor, Your Majesty.
The king stares at it for a moment.
I can't talk very much yet. You're my best and nearest friend, Cousin Rudolph. I wanted to keep you with me to tell everybody what you'd done. But Zap says the secret must be kept. He's right, Your Majesty. My work here is done. Yes, it's done. There's no one but you could have done it. I don't know when I shall see you again. If ever I can serve you, Your Majesty, you could never serve me better, cousin. You've taught me how to be a king.
He holds out his hand. With his left hand, Rudolph shakes it firmly, then bows and heads for the door. As he opens it, the king feebly waves goodbye. Rudolph gives a salute and walks out. Stepping into the next room, he finds Zapt waiting for him.
Is she here?
Zapt nods toward the next room. Rudolph glances toward it, then steps closer to the colonel.
Does she know everything?
Everything.
What did she say?
Nothing. She wants to see you.
Rudolph clenches his hand in the sling, then steps toward a parlor door. He pauses for a moment, then opens it and enters. Flavia waits inside, her back to him, her face downcast sorrowfully. At his approach, she gently folds her hands together. Rudolph steps a little closer and bows.
Your Highness.
She keeps her back to him.
I sent for you to thank you for the service you have done this kingdom and its king. No one can know better than myself how conscientiously you have played your role.
She turns to face him.
I love you. With my whole heart and soul, I love you. In all else, I've been an impostor, but not in that. From the first moment I saw you in the cathedral, I knew you were the only woman in the world for me. As I stand here now, I know there never can be any other.
It would have made no difference if I'd known. It was always you, never the king. Is it true that you're going home to England?
He nods.
Tonight.
With a pained expression, she turns back around. He comes up behind her and embraces her.
Come with me. I won't let them stand in the way of our happiness. Come with me.
Oh, if only I could.
Oh, my darling, there's a world outside. Our world. And think you'll be free. Free of these cares and duties. Free to live as joyously and happy.
She shakes her head.
What is it, Flavia?
I was born to these cares and duties, Rudolph. Help me to do what I was born to. Help me to do what I must.
How can I, my darling? I love you.
But is love the only thing? If love were all, I could follow you in rags to the end of the world. But if love were all, you would have left the king to die in his cell. Honor binds a woman too, Rudolph. And my honor lies in keeping faith with my country and my house. I don't know why God has let me love you. But I know that I must stay.
He searches her face, then swallows deeply.
Never to see you again. Never to hold you. Never. My darling.
Your heart will always be in my heart. And the touch of your lips on mine.
She strokes his cheek. Opening her palm, he kisses it, then gently pulls away. As she watches him go, her lips tremble. She fights back tears welling in her eyes. A new day, Rudolph rides with Fritz and Zap through the countryside. He's dressed in a beige tweed jacket and a gray trilby. As they pause beside a road, he shakes the captain's hand.
We'll meet again, Fritz.
Fate doesn't always make the right men kings.
Rudolph shakes Zapp's hand.
Goodbye, Colonel. We've run a good course together.
Goodbye, Englishman. You're the finest Elfberg of them all.
Fritz and Zapp heartily salute. Rudolph rides off down a long dirt path into the distance. A title appears. The End. Fade to black. Cast: Stuart Granger as Rudolph Rassendyll and King Rudolph. Deborah Carr as Princess Flavia. Louis Calhern as Colonel Zapt. Jane Greer as Antoinette. Louis Stone as the Cardinal. Robert Douglas as Michael. Robert Coote as Fritz. And James Mason as Rupert of Hensall.